Sunday Meditation, February 9th, 1997.
We are those of the principle known to you as the Kuo. Greetings and blessings in the love and in the light of the One Infinite Creator. We thank you for the privilege of sharing in your meditation. More especially, we thank each for calling us to speak with you and to share our poor thoughts with you. You allow us to be of service, and that is that which means so much to us. For without those who seek, we do not have any possibility of such sharing. So we thank the instrument and each within the circle, and ask of you all just one thing, and that is not to relate to those things we say as if we were an authority, but rather offer our opinions as any to your powers of discrimination. For deep within each entity lies that sure and certain indicator that will, if listened to, let the seeker know when she has come upon a thought that has personal value. When that reaction does not occur, then we ask you to let our opinions slide away and be lost. For we would not wish to cause anyone to stumble. We hope rather to offer thoughts that might prove to be resources, assets, or tools for the use of the seeker who wishes to accelerate the rate of spiritual evolution within his own being. This is our goal, and we know that it is your goal as spiritual goals go. The common one is to seek and know the truth. And yet, ironically, in the way of all spiritual truth, that which is held on to is as rust and ashes. For truth within illusion is that which flows, it has its own rhythm and motion. Indeed, we would ask each of you to consider that you are like the radio or the beacon that sends out a signal, that sends out desires into a universe that is listening to prayers, hopes, and desires. And in the natural way of rhythmic living, that which is desired is drawn to you in the fullness of time. So that which you see before you as the present has its beingness deeply within those patterns that you have completed in the past. The faculty of free will so often seems somehow abridged by the circumstances of destiny. And yet it is your sending out, your desire, that has called your being into manifestation within this present lifetime. And on that pre-incarnative level, it is the desires that are deepest within you that have organized and carefully arranged in series that you can survive each and every lesson you hoped before birth to learn. So you are as the magnet, and that which is yours comes to you at the proper time. Woe to the heart that is not listening to the silence. For it is within the silence, within the quieted heart, that elusive truth abides. That which is outer in experience is a projection and manifestation of that which is occurring completely within your heart, within that center that is opening little by little as it learns not to fear, as it learns not to panic, finally as it learns simply to listen in faith that the silence holds that elusive truth. And that clinging to that unfindable truth in that silence is the key that activates the patterns that you wish to call forth into your experience for your further development. We encourage each of you to become ever better at listening. For as you listen, the quality of your listening reveals to you that level of truth that you are ready and willing to bear. We are aware that there are several concerns within your minds at this particular time, and we are very glad to work with what this instrument calls the potluck, just as we are also equally glad to take the group question or to go from question to question. To us, the format is not important. Because to us, that which we truly are offering lies beneath the words that are channeled through this instrument. Because what it is that carries these words is the energy that in sharing becomes our service. We offer thoughts, but our value lies in our being with you and allowing our energy to mingle and merge with your own. The wonderful dance of harmonization is beautiful to us. And as we move through the group energies and the individual fields of consciousness, the love that is offered to us and the love that is truly very deep in our hearts for you becomes that truth that is greater than any words. And indeed, we suspect that in the end we shall find that one cannot know the truth ever, but one can become the truth that for us lies ahead. We have not yet found the key that unlocks that last door, but we are patient and we find joy in contemplating the mystery that lies always before us, always riveting and always unknowable. Before we open to specific questions, we would perhaps say a few words concerning the concept of we give this instrument the concept and it does not find the words. Let us say that the illusion that you now enjoy is as the landscape. The natural tendency of entities within the illusion is to assign value to what this instrument would call mountaintop experiences. And perhaps to define spirituality in terms of that feeling of being overcome by the especial beauty of a mountaintop experience. It is not that the Creator is not there within those moments of personal witness to glory, to ecstasy. Indeed, the Creator is gloriously there in every fiber of those moments to remember. And yet, if each of you as a seeker thinks of spirituality as the occasion that must be risen to. He cheats himself out of the spirituality that lies within. All of that which this group has recently termed the drudgery of the chores of living. Earlier, the one known as Romy was speaking of the way that the truth seems so often right there. And this is so. Not just in that which you put quotes around as spiritual. Love, truth, beauty, these words reflect an awareness of the divine. And we would turn your eyes to the divinity of the ordinary, to the majestic and marvelous beauty of the everyday, of each and every mote and iota of manifestation within the illusion. For as the one known as Romy said, is not everything made of this perfect love? Therefore, is not the Creator literally in everything? These are words of great wisdom. If we could but share with you our perceptions of your environment and its amazing beauty. We would love to set you awash in awe and wonder. And yet, we grasp the fact that there is a limit to the amount of spiritual awareness that can be carried within the soul while it is functioning. It is just that it is our experience that the way of accelerating the path of spiritual evolution includes an ever-growing tendency towards the awareness of holiness in each moment. It is the self that is brought to each moment that creates the perception of that moment. It may seem at times as though it is impossible really to get into those attitudes that govern perception. However, since there are several entities within this group much familiar with computers, we may say that just as any software or any program in a computer can be altered by one who grasps the principles by which those programs were written, so too the seeker that knows the self and has begun to be conscious of that self's thoughts can begin to go into the programming and alter according to preference those deeper processes which produce perception. It is not impossible to begin a transformation within the self. There is the opportunity for transformation. At any time. So we encourage each to become a little more conscious of how that biocomputer, the mind, is working. Because these ways of thinking can be played with, can be this instrument wants to say manipulated, but there are difficult connotations to deal with in that word. But let us say that the building blocks of the mind can be taken down and restructured by one who has the patience and the tenacity to be persistent about self-observation. We would not encourage overemphasis upon this kind of work. For truly, the essence of spiritual seeking is in becoming more and more oneself. And that self rather fades before the eyes while one is doing work upon one's deeper programs. The true spiritual earth of self lies far below that level of programming. And that is the ground of being which you hope to affect in some small way by the cumulative experience gained within your present incarnation. So you are going to a school . This metaphor for the spiritual life is useful. For there is the classroom, your planet, and the lessons you chose to work on for your courses, and of course, a graduation to larger life at the end. That is a graduation. No one fails. Now, we have had our fun with that concept of truth which eludes us all. Let us open this meeting to the questions that you may have at this time, the concerns that are upon you. Is there a question at this time?
Yes, Cora. with respect to the work that you spoke of, and it's rearranging the blocks of the mind, the image that came to my mind as you spoke of that was sort of an inverse pyramid for the mind, where the surface levels tend to have more blocks that can be played with, whereas at the deeper levels there is, at the apex, the original thought. It seems to me that there's a... Well, I'm just wondering, at what level are you rearranging these blocks? Are you just substituting simply one illusion for another illusion? And does it not accomplish the same thing to remain focused on the original thought? Any comments on this?
Now, we are those of Kuo and my brother. We have thoughts on almost anything.
As do I.
Which we are glad to share. To the best of our limited knowledge, there is nothing but illusion. The only thing that is without illusion is unpotentiated love, which has no awareness of itself. By the play of free will, the Creator is able to seek to know itself, but the act of manifesting love is in itself an illusion, a distortion, certainly a primal distortion, but distortion nevertheless, so that no matter what density of experience or length of study that describes one's situation, one is experiencing an illusion and one is distorting the truth. There is nothing but a steady progression of more and more light-filled densities which offer a more and more pleasant and light-filled way of distorting the one original thought. The concept of distortion is sometimes not an easy one to get the mind around, because there is that feeling in the mind that says there must be something that is unchangeable, that is without distortion. However, we do not know anything that does not contain some distortion. Our only perception of undistorted truth is that state of being where one is lost in awareness of the Creator that speaks within the silence of the heart. So perhaps we could say that the most light-filled distortion available to one in third density is that state of mind where the attention is focused upon that which is known to be holy ground, that inner sanctum lies within your green ray energy center, the heart chakra. This is why when entities are moving from the open heart, that they seem to have a healing influence regardless of what they are saying and the relative wisdom of it. For that energy of the opened heart contains the sanctification that is available to that opened heart. May we answer you further, my brother?
No, thank you, Quinn. Thank you very much. I have a sort of a requestful idea. This is agreed with you a lot, but I remember one occasion when sort of a guided meditation, just mentioning anyway, from the gray days and sort of a duty that we have today to some place where we are more of a life and then throw us back. I wonder whether we can do it.
We are, those of Kuo and my brother, we would be very happy to take you upon a walk with us. Let us begin by becoming aware of the physical vehicle as it rests upon your chairs and couches. Feel its heaviness. Feel the substance of that which you sit upon. Sense into the energies that hold the chair in position, that hold the body in position. Feel the aliveness of the dwelling place, the energies of furnace and refrigerator and electricity as it moves through this place where these physical vehicles abide. And enjoy the many cycles and energies of incarnation. Sense now into the everlasting strength of your earth, that powerful terrestrial ball that is right beneath your feet. Sense down into that earth energy, for each of you has the roots within the earth. Each draws power from the earth. Sense the quiet joy of the daffodils pushing through that earth, seeking the uncertain warmth of early spring. Sense those bare and dignified trees that lift their articulate branches to a bitter sky. Sense those few birds that yet dwell in the winter. And now, lift up from the body and the location and rise up until you can see that island in space that is your home. All the cities have disappeared. There are no boundaries, no line that says United States and Canada, no pink Wyoming, no blue Kentucky. Just one tiny globe whirling through the never-ending night of your space-time. From this lofty altitude, one can become philosophical about millennia, about great eons of time and great reaches of space. There is no body to that awareness that sees this planet. Open now to the subtler levels of life. Become aware of the millions of entities that dwell within the earth in spirit, without the physical vehicle. Those whom you have called angels, fairies, divas, sense into that liveness that fills the air with the sound of wings. And rest back upon that band of angels that is with you. And let it carry you back down into the earth sphere. And come to rest in a more equable climb. You stand at the base of a mountainous area on the shore of an ocean. The sun is golden and seems closer than it is possible to be, so warm, so toasty, so comfortable. The physical vehicle loves that feeling of sun, responds as does a flower to the warmth of light. Here in this private beach, the Creator may walk with unshod feet. Breathe in that warmth and that presence that the sun is. Breathe in that love which fills the air. Feel how cherished you are as you rest there upon the sand, with the ocean beating its susurration at your feet, wave upon wave of clear aquamarine water. Get up, lazy bones. Go for a walk. Sink your feet into the sand. Look out over the expanse of water and see the curved earth. That is the end of the eye shot. How can the eye see all the way to the curve of the earth? What hundreds and thousands of miles of water does the eye take in order to see to the curvature of the earth? Standing here, looking out, one must face the fact that there is a mystery that cannot be solved, that lies just beneath the surface of every event and circumstance. Let us walk more, away from the beach and up into the warm, shady foothills, walking the worn dirt path, finding the way from one valley to another until you have come to that waterfall and lagoon that lies at the heart of this mountainous island. Come down over the ridge of that hill into the place where that lagoon lies, that spring of fresh water that feeds it. Gaze around you. The trees so love the water. Willow, cottonwood, ebony, grand creatures that dip their toes in the deep springs and overhang the quiet water. Here in the shade, it is warm, not hot, and you may lie down and close the eyes and rest. And as you rest, you fall asleep and you dream that you are actually living in Louisville, Kentucky, sitting in a living room and working on the spiritual journey. Are you, then, those who are dreaming of a beautiful trip to a magic island? Or are you living on a magic island, dreaming, penetrate your winter heart and know that that which you can imagine is real. Come back now, if you have not already, into your body, into your circumstances. into the patterns with which you now work. And feel the sun within. Know that that sun is love, both as it shines upon you in the illusion and as it glows and warms you in the heart. And this instrument is expressing to us that 45 minutes is long enough for a session. And so we would ask if there is a final question at this time.
Yes, Paul. With respect to the concept of clearing blockages that you and others have spoken of previously, the image that I initially had with respect to that had to do with taking the blockage, sort of like pulling a cork from a bottle, that it was something that was physically there that needed to be removed. Is it more like when you speak of clearing a blockage, more like that of a dirty window through which the light has to shine, and simply wiping the dirt off of that window? Clearing simply meaning to understand, to sort of along those lines. Is that more what you meant?
Oh, we are those of Kual. And we believe we grasp your query. Let us say rather, we give this instrument the image of an entity that is within a cave. The door to a cave is naturally open. And when the energy within an energy nexus is without blockage, there is the perfect ability to come in and go out as one wishes. When an energy is blocked, it is the action of fear that causes the heart to contract away from that which is feared, that causes what you might see as a strand of knotty material that comes down over that opening. And when there is enough crystallized fear, it seems that there is so much material at the head of the cave that there's no way to get out or come in. Entities often try to use large blunt instruments to remove such blockage from the mental or emotional or spiritual body. However, it is not the way that we would suggest. Rather, we would suggest more that as entities work day by day, it is a matter of taking a little bit of the material away so that a little more space is made for motion, for energy to move around, enter, and leave. It is far more effective to work a little bit again and again and again than to attempt to, as you said, pop the cork and cause the energy to become unblocked in an explosive manner, which can do damage to the structure of the mouth of the cave. The skill lies in knowing how much material can be laid aside. There is no time limit on this practice, so that if too much material is laid aside and the entity is seeing itself contract away again and move more into blockage, that entity can stop and allow that blockage, because that blockage for that entity at that time is necessary. What one is working with really is fear. Fear is the antithesis of love. As love radiates, fear contracts. To use explosion as a way of clearing a blockage is in itself a kind of use of the energy of fear, whereas the energy that radiates is that which is respectful and careful not to harm the knotted material that is taken away, the cave itself, or the entity that wishes to have a more free energy center. We fear we have mixed a few metaphors, my brother, and apologize for that, but perhaps you see the direction of our thoughts. May we speak further?
No, the mixture of metaphors did not confuse me at all. In fact, the images I found to be very rich and really helped to clarify what I was asking. Thank you.
We thank you, my brother. And indeed, we do thank each of you again and again. You have greatly enriched our lives, and we treasure each of you. And thank you for this opportunity. As we leave you, yet we do not leave you. For are not we all one? Yet we shall cease speaking through this instrument and leave you in the love and in the light of the ineffable Creator, glorying in that mystery that ever draws us onward to our source and our ending. We are those of Kuul. Arane. Arane.
Ayada. Ayada. We got the call from Omi. So we are healed. We greet each in the love and the light of the one infinite Creator. We have only to say hello and goodbye, but the one known as Aroman asked for our voice, so we came. We yada. We leave you in love and light. Ah, Danae. Such a character. Okay, the prayer list. Scott, Perry, Ann, Ethel, Spider Rainbow, Judy, the Bean family, the Kirtley family, Flaherty family, Poopy, Romy and his cold. Other requests? Judy Roman's brother, I think his name is Walter. The cause of peace. And good old planet Earth. I am the circle and you are healing me. I am the circle and you are healing me. United people, we are one. United people, we are one. I am the circle and you are healing me. I am the circle and you are healing me. United people, we are one. United people.